If you like baseball, then this is your show. Noah and Brian and Adam will host, trashing on the umps and making hot takes. We love Joe Panic because he rakes.
Yeah! Yeah!
It's Non-Stop Baseball Podcast. It's a Non-Stop Baseball Podcast.
What is up, everybody? And welcome back to episode 82 of the Non-Stop Baseball Podcast. Little old school live intro. You could hear us as the intro music was playing, and that is because it is a unique week for us here at Nonstop.
It's a common
podcast.
Week. Very usual.
Very usual.
I mean, me and Noah always here. Adam, I mean, can't control that guy. He flakes a lot.
Can't control that guy. Brian and I are recording on our own on Zoom. We're having to do it over the little 40-minute time frames that Zoom gives us, so we might just have an ad break in the middle of the show for a very special product. But as always, I'm Noah, one of your hosts, and I'm joined by Brian. How's it going?
Dude, I'm doing great. The World Cup has been amazing to watch. The MLB winter meetings were hectic and fun like always. And I'm just excited to break it down. How about you?
Yeah, a lot of the same. That England-France game yesterday was exciting, a little tough. I was not like in a very strong way, but I was definitely rooting for England. Felt like they're the better team and they just lost. You know, that's old soccer sometimes. But
well, man, we saw Brazil lose. We saw Portugal lose. We've seen England lose. A lot of the powerhouses have been falling. And I think that's what makes the World Cup great, because everybody's playing for the country. And sometimes a team like Morocco shows up and stuns everyone. And do you know what? We might get to see that in the baseball world for the World Baseball Classic. Who's going to be the team that shows up and shocks everyone?
Yeah, I had a lot of fun yesterday at my family's, like my extended family's Christmas thing, telling my grandma about the World Baseball Classic. She loves baseball, but I don't think she's been super exposed to the World Baseball Classic. And she was like, oh, that sounds lovely. You got to tell me when that's on. And I was like, okay, yeah. So yeah, you know, around that spring training time, got to hit up my grandma, let her know when the WBC is on. She's going to be into it.
Love that.
But yeah, as you mentioned, there is a lot of free agent news to cover. It just feels like free agency is at the perfect pace this year after some years where the pace was not ideal for, you know, various reasons, pandemic, lockout, all that stuff. But yeah, deals have been flying, but then we still have some deals yet to be done. So it's not like we've exhausted everything.
There's still some big names out on the market, like Carlos Correa, Carlos Rodon. I just thought I was going to say one of their names wrong because I realized they're both named Carlos.
I know. Big Carlos is still on the market, and Dansby's out there.
Dansby, yep.
Yeah. I mean, yes, definitely some big names still. But yeah, if you want to share your reactions with us or feel like we missed anything, hit us up at Nonstop BB Pod on Twitter and Instagram. We'd love to hear you out. But I think there is only one way to start off this free agent talk, and that is, of course, with the biggest free agent of the offseason getting taken off the board, Aaron Judge signing for
you mean Arson Judge, right?
Arson Judge to the Giants.
John Heyman broke my heart. Okay, go on.
Yeah, Arson Judge went to the Giants, but Aaron Judge back to the Yankees on a 9-year, $360 million deal, and AAV of $40 million. And I mean, hindsight's 2020, but especially in hindsight, it kind of seems like he really was never leaving.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was excited. There was a lot of buzz, but I mean, I texted you this too. Like, my hot take last week was almost that I would have been okay if Aaron Judge didn't sign with the Giants. I kind of still am okay. I mean, 9 years, $360 million, a lot of money. And like a lot of people have been talking, we've never seen someone of Aaron Judge's size play that late into his career. Will that be a factor? Will it not? Who knows? Everybody's different. First time for everything. I think personally, Aaron Judge will be fine. The dude could just flat out hit. But I mean, the Yankees got it done. The Giants and Padres both apparently offered more money. And at the end, Aaron Judge just wanted to be a New York Yankee.
Yeah, I think if the Yankees really didn't compete, Judge was prepared to go somewhere else, but it does seem like he was really just using the Giants and even the Padres a little bit too to drive up that price, you know, which is just what being a free agent is. And he got that $40 million a year for 9 years. So good for him.
His team played it perfectly, like his agent, everything. I mean, I believe from what I've read, the Giants were like right around the 9 year mark, maybe a 10th year. And it was like similar money to the Yankees. The Padres were offering like a 14-year, like crazy contract. And originally the Yankees were at 8 years. And he had a phone call with Hal Steinbrenner, the owner. It's Hal, right? Did I say the right name?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Hal Steinbrenner. And he told Hal, like, they were at 8 years, 320. He said, 9 years, 360, I'm there. And he pulled the trigger, and he's in New York.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. Very solid career. Obviously, the otherworldly season in 2022. I think it's unrealistic to expect that again, but you never know with Judge. But, I mean, projected right at a 7 WAR player in 23 based off of Fangraphs. I think he'll take that.
And just the about thing is, even if you can't expect the, like, crazy record-breaking year out of Judge, you can easily expect a 35 home run yearly, which is phenomenal phenomenal production, right? And he plays a solid outfield. Like, they're not going to go wrong with signing this deal.
Yeah, so Dansby Swanson, out of all the free agents, had the second highest F4 in 2022, which was 6.4. And Aaron Judge's projected WAR for 2023 is 6.9. So, like, his projections for next year is like top of the class free agent stuff, excluding, of course, himself in 2022. So absolutely crazy stuff. I still think he's got a few more really solid defensive years too, and then hopefully a lot more solid.
And as he gets older, he can start to DH. Like, it'll be fine. Even though they do have Stanton. So I guess that kind of complicates the DH situation about 4 or 5 years out, but they'll get to it when you get to it. Which, speaking of getting to it when you get to it, I feel like we need to talk about the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yes, we do.
Who have just started to spend money like crazy and give out these big contracts. And like, do you know what? We'll figure out what our team looks like in 5 years. We're not worried about 5, 6 years. We're worried about right now. Signing Trey Turner to the 11-year, $300 million mega deal. I mean, dude, we were talking about the Phillies. They're missing a shortstop. And they got arguably the best shortstop in baseball now. So the Phillies are going to be a dangerous team to watch next year.
Yeah, I love this. I mean, it's so crazy what one guy does to that lineup. I feel like it makes it look so different because now it's not just Realmuto being that speedy guy. You have Trey Turner, who's like just
the speediest of speedy guys.
Yeah. It just feels like another Realmuto, but to another level in several ways. It feels like it relieves some pressure off Castellanos, who you really expect to have a better year next year. It just gives them a solid defensive presence in the middle infield, allows Stott to move to second base. I'm just really excited to see this. I think it'll be great for the Phillies. I'm hoping Brandon Marsh, just now being able to focus on being that nine hole guy, just really kind of comes into his own as well. Just no pressure, just go out, do his thing with the wettest hair on the field always. But another interesting thing that I heard about, because we've seen a few of these deals where it's like, that's too many years. but I think what I've heard some people say is, you know, players wanted a certain amount of total money, and then teams are almost viewing these extra year or years as like a way of deferring that money to make it less on the AAV and give you more flexibility from year to year. But that, you know, is a bit of a double-edged sword because, though, yeah, you have less AAV and more flexibility from year to year, by the end of that, you're either cutting someone who's making close to $30 million a year, or you're maybe having someone who's not too valuable just eating up a roster spot at the end of that. But as you're saying, let's figure that out later. Let's have a great team for the next 4 years.
And yeah, it's like I can't think of the word right now, but it's of like a financing plan. Like, hey, you want $300 million. We can't do it over 7 years, but over 11 years we can. In the last 4 years, maybe you'll be a good veteran. Maybe you'll retire and we'll just owe you the money. Maybe we'll have to cut you. We'll worry about that when we get there in 7 years. But I mean, I like it personally. It just go be aggressive, man. Spend the money. Like, dude. And one of the other contracts we'll talk about later, it's just like the Padres are proving you don't have to be a massive big market team to spend money.
Correct.
Like, they are proving that. And like, I don't know. It makes some teams look so bad.
Yeah,
they're including my San Francisco Giants. but I'll get to that later. But no, this Trey Turner deal, I love. The interesting thing about Trey Turner, he also turned down more money from the Padres. So Aaron Judge, Trey Turner, both turning down more money from the Padres. Seems to be a common theme. Do players not want to go to San Diego? Do they not want to be on the West Coast? Do they not want to play with Tatis and Machado? What is it? I don't know.
You know who does want to go to San Diego, though?
Your boy?
More like San Diego, am I?
Oh.
Xander Bogaerts, 11 years, $280 million to join the San Diego Padres. I mean, after the Yoshida and Jansen stuff, it was like, oh my gosh, and we're about to get Bogaerts back, and I could be excited about 2023. And I think that's where a lot of Red Sox fans were. And then you saw 11 years, 280, and then you're like, oh yeah, we weren't matching that, like no matter what. But I think...
one thing I want to say, why not? Why can't the Red Sox do that? The Red Sox are supposed to be one of these big house, big spending teams. Like, what are they doing? Like, if they were just willing to spend a little bit more last offseason, they would have gotten Xander Bogaerts for way cheaper than that.
Yeah, that's exactly the... a double-layered complaint. I'll try and condense this rant a little bit. Well, first off, you just spend too much time messing around. Exactly. You could have done this before last season, or even before that as well, and shown your team and Xander that you appreciate homegrown talent, you appreciate everything that he's done, and you trust his consistency. Definitely not spent 11 years, $280 million. And you could have just been smarter and, you know, paid him what he's worth instead of underpaying him for another year or two and risking it by letting him go to the open market. Like, that's the main complaint. The Red Sox should have just done something sooner. And now it's like they did it with Lester. They did it with Mookie. And now they've done it with Xander. And it feels like they might even do this with Devers too. And Lord, dude, help
if
me.
They don't sign Devers, I mean, how many more years of control do they have with Devers?
I'm not sure, but I'll get back to that, because the other thing is, well, 11 years, 280. As much as I love Xander, it's like, okay,
2 years
that's,
of Devers.
Yeah, two more years of Devers. Cool. But it's like, that's just too much. But then when you think of it, when you look at what the industry reaction to the Yoshida signing was, which was like, oh my God, why did they give him that much money? They could have got him for so much less. You're like, you're overpaying for Yoshida. And it's like, if you're going to, obviously it's totally different. 5 years, $90 million for Yoshida. But if you're going to overpay for someone, wouldn't you rather overpay your two-time World Series champion, de facto team captain, all-star MVP caliber shortstop that's been in your organization for over 10 years rather than some I'm exciting but unknown commodity from a foreign league? It's like, I don't know.
I understand that comparison you're making, but I think it's hard to make because there was no world Bogaerts would ever have been around the 100 million mark. Like, he was always, I mean, I was thinking he was going to be around 200 much closer to 200 than 280 for sure. But it's just hard to compare that because like one's a, it was a $75 million contract with a $15 million posting fee. So 5 years, 75 versus like how much, like, I just think those are hard to compare. What I do think is
yeah, that money that you spent on overpaying for Yoshida, if you just don't sign Yoshida and sign Bogarts, because like you could have just done that, you know?
And I mean, what's really going to be tough for Red Sox fans is these Japanese hitters very, very, actually, I don't even think ever have they been productive in their first year. Like Japanese hitters, like it just, you, it's a different style of pitching. You have to come over here. You have to get used to the different style. Like Seiya Suzuki, who signed with the Cubs last year, like he had a good start and he had a very long cold stretch. I think Seiya Suzuki will end up being okay, but he had a rough year and odds are Yoshida's going to have a rough year, or at least maybe it won't be the entire year, but he'll definitely have a portion that is going to be extremely hard. Like he's going to have a rough stretch. And I think Red Sox fans might be in a, not in a happy mood when that happens.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm excited for Yoshida. I've always been excited about Japanese and just anyone coming over from a foreign league. I've always been excited about, but it's just, I think I've been, as a Dortmund fan, too used to losing your best players, but preparing to lose Jude Bellingham. So at first when the Bogarts knees broke, I almost like didn't even really feel it too much. But then just the more I thought about it, it's just like, man, it's like, this isn't right. Cause it's also like, I mean, it's kind of the same thing with Dortmund. It's like, aren't we like one of the biggest teams in the world in our sport? You know, like when are we going to act like it? But yeah, unfortunate, but exciting for old San Diego out there.
We have to talk about the San Diego aspect of this trade. I mean, the signing, because we didn't really talk about it at all. Mm-hmm. What does this signing mean for Fernando Tatis?
I have no idea.
They also have the Korean shortstop. I forgot his name.
Ha Sung Kim.
And like, what does it mean for him? Like, I mean, Kim, I think they always wanted him to be like that utility player, kind of pick up starts here and there around the diamond, figure it out. For Tatis, this kind of tells me like they want him to be a center fielder now.
Yeah, like, I mean, to start the season, I think obviously because Tatis will still be suspended for a bit. I think it'll be Kim at second, Xander at short. And then I guess Cronzone at first, they're projecting.
Oh, interesting.
So yeah, that'll be interesting. But yeah, well, I mean, I don't know.
Sorry, I forgot they didn't have a first baseman. I forgot Bell left, and they no longer have Hosmer. So that is interesting.
Maybe they'll trade back for Hosmer.
Would that make you happy as a Red Sox fan?
No, I just Hosmer's fine. But that's
like, nothing will make me happy.
Nothing will make me happy. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, you got to figure eventually they're gonna look for a legit first baseman, because Cronzone, as good as he is, he's really showing value as a second baseman more so than a first baseman. And then Kim have, you like you said, be that utility guy, playing a little third, short, second, all over the place. And then I guess Tatis to the outfield, you know, do your job. You know, be a team guy, earn it.
I mean, he has the athletic traits to be a great center fielder. And it may be a health thing. Like, we saw all those dislocated shoulders playing short. Maybe try getting him away from that position so he could stay on the field. I don't know, man. It just, it's so weird to sign a big money shortstop when you already have arguably two big money shortstops on your team. I don't know. The Padres are very interesting. They're going to be, I mean, you could almost say they're a better team than the Dodgers right now, as crazy as that sounds. The Dodgers lost a lot of players this offseason. We haven't really seen them make any moves. The Giants haven't been making any moves. So as it stands today, I would almost say the Padres are my favorite to win that division, as crazy as that might sound.
Yeah, it's just who's their, I don't know. I mean, I guess Fangraphs likes, or Martinez and Morejon had good years, but those are your four or five in the rotation. Yeah. We'll have to see with them.
I mean, if the Padres sign one more solid starter, like, it doesn't need to be some elite guy, but like maybe a guy like Manaea or like one of those type of guys, like a little lower. Good. I mean, honestly, I think Manaea might end up on the Giants, which I don't hate, but if it's Manaea for Rodon, we'll see. We'll see how that plays out. But if the Padres sign another starter, I really like their odds of winning the division.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little crazy looking at the Dodgers lineup. We got names like Trace Thompson.
He had a good year last year,
though. Had a good year, no doubt. Miguel Vargas, James Outman. That's
I mean, you got Freddie names. Freeman, you got Mookie and Chris Taylor, and that's pretty much as far as you go with their big names. Oh, yeah, Will Smith, too. Max Muncy, but he hasn't been as good in a while. But, I mean, the Dodgers definitely aren't the powerhouse they once were. Not to say the Dodgers will be bad by any means. They're still going to be they're still probably going to win 90-plus games, and you're going to look back and be like, oh, how do we doubt James Outman? Like,
yeah.
So the Dodgers are going to dodge James Outman.
Yeah. But, I mean, going back to the other coast now, we got a couple of signings to talk about with the old Metropolitans. First off, they responded to DeGrom going to Texas by signing Justin Verlander to a 2-year, $86 million deal with a vesting option, for a player option for their third year. So if Verlander pitches 140 innings pitched in that second year, he'll, be able to exercise a player option if he wishes to pitch for a third year in, New York. Thoughts on the Verlander signing?
I mean, it reunites Verlander and Scherzer near the end of their career from their Detroit days, which that's pretty cool. I mean, shout out that Verlander-Scherzer duo on Detroit when they got swept in the playoffs by the Giants. But Verlander, I mean, Verlander-Scherzer is going to be a nasty 1-2 punch. The Mets are, Stevie Cohen's proving why he has the biggest pocketbooks in baseball and why he does not care and will spend. I think Steve Cohen is scaring the other owners of baseball with how much he's just willing to spend.
Yeah, I think we just went from one team that's exposing owners to another team that's also exposing owners in the Padres to the Mets.
Yep.
But yeah, do you think Mets are better off with Verlander instead of DeGrom considering the deals?
Yeah, with how their contracts are and the health of these players throughout their careers, I mean, I definitely don't like, I think the Verlander's a better position. I mean, you spend it for 2 years, maybe. And like, the thing is about this option and the 140 innings, if Verlander's pitching that third year, that means it's worked out really well for them the first 2 years. Like,
yeah.
So I like it for the Mets. I mean, it's, you're never happy about losing a player with the talent level of DeGrom, but going from DeGrom to Verlander, statistic-wise, I mean, it's not that much of a drop. If a drop at all.
Yeah, like, yeah, if a drop at all. And just the likelihood of increased quantity of that quality as a starter is very high.
I mean, if you ask me who's more likely to pitch over 150 innings, I'm like 95% Verlander.
Yeah, same. I mean, obviously the upside for DeGrom is it even that much higher? I mean, Verlander had like a 172 last year.
DeGrom's younger. And that's the thing. Like, age, you never know when age is going to hit someone. And like, it kind of looks like age hasn't really caught up to Justin Verlander. Maybe it catches up to him next year and he looks horrible. We don't know. The DeGrom, I would say for the position the Mets are in, Verlander makes more sense. And for the position the Rangers are in, DeGrom makes more sense. I actually think like they both ended up with the right player for their situation.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, if I was a Mets fan, I'd be really happy with that. Obviously, you're still bummed that DeGrom's gone, but I think Verlander with that deal and the deal structure is exactly, like you said, what they need.
Oh, I'm a Mets fan, I'm pumped because not only did my team sign Verlander, they turned around and signed the second best free agent outfielder, or I should say re-sign, Brandon Nimmo, keep him there. I mean, the Giants were in on Brandon Nimmo. There was a time there I thought they were going to get Brandon Nimmo, and apparently that 8-year, $162 million contract came together extremely fast. which good for Brandon Nimmo. He deserves it.
Yeah, I mean, really solid presence, great on base, great defender. You know, can sneakily get you 20 plus homers a year as well.
As a true center fielder, that's great production too.
Yeah, as a true center fielder, and in terms of just makeup, work ethic, the exact kind of guy you want to give a big contract to. You know, he's not going to rest on his laurels. He's going to do everything he can to just keep getting better, working hard. Only big concern with him is just he's already shown some health inconsistency. So hopefully he can continue to figure out his body, get the right trainers and all that stuff so he could stay on the field. Because when he's on there, he is, you know, very much so under the radar, but one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball.
And the Mets still said, hold up, we're not done. So they went out, signed Jose Quintana, 2 years, 26, David Robertson, 1 year, 10, and Kodai Senga, which I think I said that right, not 100% sure, 5 years, $75 million over from the Japanese league. I really wanted Senga on the Giants. I was excited for that, potentially being the Rodon replacement. Did not happen. And I mean, dude, the Mets starting rotation is deep.
Yeah, it went from thin to deep really quick. But really quick to circle back on Nimmo just a bit.
Oh, my bad.
I remember when that hit, and then I saw the AAV of 20 and a quarter. And I texted you just being like, why couldn't the Red Sox do this? And then you're like, why couldn't the Giants do this? And I was like, oh, yeah, like the Red Sox, why not? Especially the Giants, though. It's like,
yeah,
oh, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense.
Trust me, the Giants do not make sense. I'll get into it when we talk about the Mitch Haniger deal. But yeah.
Another quick shout out to Jose Quintana. This was a guy, you know, early in his career, it was him and Sale in that White Sox rotation. And it was kind of like, which one would you rather have, Sale or Quintana? And that was a big, you know, actual talking point. And then it seemed like Quintana was kind of fizzling out a bit. And he's really turned it around recently and turned it into a 2-year deal, which I think is great for him. I think he's going to be exactly what the Mets need. I think, you know, just having all those old guys in the rotation, they're really going to feed off of each other and their work ethic and their hunger. And then hopefully they could rub off on some of those, you know, younger pitchers. If anyone gets called up throughout the year to fill in for a spot, they just come into a great spot with some great models, both right and left-handed. So yeah, good
and
for the Mets.
David Robertson just adds more depth to their bullpen.
Yeah.
The Mets are going to be good, man. That division, the NL East, is going to be a division to watch. The Phillies look phenomenal. The Mets look phenomenal. The Braves are a great team. Like, it's going to be a fun division to watch for a lot of years.
Oh, super fun. Yeah, speaking of those pitching and talking about the NL East, Phillies, Taiwan Walker going from the Mets to the Phillies, 4 years, $72 million. Good
Makes
deal
so much
for him.
Sense.
Good old 4 years, $72 million for him. Love to see that for Taiwan. Was this a little bit more than you're expecting for him?
I mean, it's a lot of money, but if you're the Phillies, get your guy. Like, if that's the guy they liked, I mean, he's kind of taking, I guess, Kyle Gibson's spot in the rotation. I mean, I like it. If you like Taiwan Walker, I feel like Taiwan Walker's kind of had a underrated career.
Same.
Like, people, I don't think, always give him the respect he kind of deserves. I mean, he has a career ERA of 3.8. Like,
I know,
dude, that's good.
Yeah. It's been crazy. Like, the last 2 years, they've been like, well, Taiwan Walker, he like really falls off in the second half. And it's like, well, maybe, yeah, a little bit, but it's like, he just also has incredibly phenomenal first halves.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, it's a bit in the second half, but I think he's a really quality pitcher, especially if he's the middle or even end of your rotation, as he will be in Philadelphia. Just perfect. I think the fourth year surprised me a little bit, but I think he totally deserves it. Love that the Phillies went out and got their guy, Davey Downs, dropping bombs.
But he's like only 30 years old. Like, we talk about a pitcher's prime being from those years, like 30 to 34, 30, 35. Like, pitchers have a later prime than position players. Like, usually there's some level of figuring it out. Dude, there's a chance we haven't even seen the best version of Taiwan Walker.
Yeah, and I think he's going to love that environment in Philadelphia, and I think they're going to love him right back, and it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, and guess what? We're on the Phillies. Matt Strom, 2 years, 15 mil.
Yeah, cool. Really solid year for the Red Sox last year. But they are like, nope, that's too young of a bullpen guy. We're going to let him go.
You talk about making good decisions?
Yeah. They say, wait. That guy is less than 35 years old. We don't want
him. To be fair, I mean, the Red Sox did sign Kenley Jansen, so they've gotten a really good bullpen pitcher.
Yes.
How do you feel about that contract? 2 years, $32 million.
We'll see. I know, I guess, at the end of last year, he kind of limped his way through the end of the season a bit, but, you know, led the National League in saves with the ERA in the threes. And I think that's solid. You know, you have a legit closer. I think that's going to help out a lot. Just to have that bullpen take shape a little bit better. I'm hoping Schreiber can continue doing what he was doing last year, but they'll be able to just use him wherever now. But yeah, I think Jansen, I don't know, I'm got faith in it. He's been disrespected everywhere he goes, even like the Braves fans for the one year, they're like, oh, good riddance. And it's like, wait, this guy was like solid for you guys.
Dude. Yeah, I think Kenley Jansen is so good. I think he's gets way too much disrespect. Does he get a little wild? Does he allow a couple walks every now and then? Yes, but he gets the job done. I think this is my pet peeve, though, when average teams sign big money closers. Like, I feel like that money could have been used better elsewhere for the Red Sox.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm looking at that division, looking at that team, like, as today stands, I think I would say Red Sox are my last place team. And that might be rather bold, but like, it's honestly not even that crazy to see it. Like, say that as today stands. Like, they've lost Xander, they've gained Kinley and Yoshida. Like, is that a net positive? Maybe it's even best case scenario. Like, and the Red Sox weren't good last year. And I think that division as a whole is just getting competitive and getting better. Like, I don't know. What do you think about me saying that?
Well, I think there was some health stuff going on last year a bit too, but also you're losing Xander. They do need starting pitching help ideally you're going to have Sale and Paxton this year, and that's going to make a huge difference, in a perfect world.
That will make a huge difference. I look at that division. I mean, the Blue Jays are young, the Rays are always good, and the Orioles are on the way up. And if there's one team that's like not trending upwards right now, it's the Red Sox.
But yeah, I mean, you'll have Yoshida, Dahlbeck Casas for a full year now. Yeah. Kike will be healthy, hopefully. He was a huge spark to their 2021 season, and he was just gone for most of the year in 22. And hopefully this will stabilize the bullpen a little bit, though. As I kind of highlighted last year, bullpen had some key errors, but overall their numbers were really solid. I think they got a little bit too much hate. But something that I heard someone say was, especially if someone's like a closer only, like Kenley Jansen is, you kind of gotta go with the more old school mind and just be like, did he get a lot of saves? Yes or no? Yeah, he did. He had a good year. And, you know, the ERA was solid too. But if he's closing out close ball games for you and you're getting the win, that's a success as a closer. So,
which I think is interesting to see, like, because that like old fashioned style of like a closer's always your ninth inning guy, like, you see a lot of teams not always do that. Like, I know my Giants, like, Camilo Duvall's our quote unquote closer, but there's a lot of games where if it's the heart of the order in the eighth inning, Camilo Duvall walks out there in the eighth, and then we don't see him in the ninth. So it's interesting. Maybe the Red Sox use Kinley like that, but Kinley's traditionally been that ninth inning guy only.
Yeah. And we'll keep talking about some free agent signings right after this message.
This week's episode of the Nonstop Baseball Podcast is brought to you by the Nonstop Baseball Podcast. the podcast that gives you all the chicken tenders and Joe Panic news you need in your life.
This episode is also brought to you by Pogo Sticks. Pogo Sticks, you begged your parents to buy you one as a kid, and you spent about 10 minutes on it and then never used it again. Please enjoy the rest of the episode.
Yeah, so Mitch Haniger went to the Giants, 3 years, $43.5 million. I mean, okay, so this signing happened before the Aaron Judge one, and that's like important to say for the timeline, because when it happened, I was pumped. And to be fair, I'm still pumped, right? Mitch Haniger, solid baseball player, very good production. I mean, 3 years, 43 and a half, that's the most money the Giants have spent on an offensive player in a very long time in free agency.
Wow.
So I'm excited about Mitch Haniger. It gives them an everyday right-handed outfielder, which they definitely needed. The problem is they need two outfielders. And with Aaron Judge and Nimmo both signed, it's kind of like, who's going to be the other guy? I thought it was going to be Kevin Kiermaier for a bit, but he's actually went and signed with the Toronto Blue Jays. So it'll be interesting. I'm excited about the deal. My problem is it's the only thing the Giants have done. This kind of, this offseason has been kind of like awaited for a while for Giants fans. When Zady came in, this was the year all the money was coming off the books. This was the year, like, we're not spending big past off seasons because we're going to spend big this offseason. We're going to go get a shortstop or an outfielder or someone.
Well, like you said, they spent bigger than they have in a long time on their guy, Mitch.
This is true. But, like, dude, like, I'm more optimistic than most Giants fans right now. Like, Giants fans on Twitter, this is worst case scenario right now. Like, people are not happy. It's just happened. It's rough, man. So, like, in a lot of Giants fans' head right now, it's kind of Carlos Correa or bust. I personally don't think the Giants are that interested in Carlos Correa. Like, I love Carlos Correa. I'll be extremely excited if they sign him. I don't know if the Giants as an organization, like, I don't think Correa is really their type of player. Just Why like, not? Just his attitude and his, I mean, have you ever, like, who's a player like Carlos Correa, like, attitude-wise that's played for them? Like, they don't really typically have those type of guys on their team, especially as the big star. They want someone to market their team around. Like, they had Buster Posey. They had a Tim Lincecum. They had a Barry Bonds before that. Like, I don't know if Carlos Correa is that type of guy for the San Francisco Giants to market around. But I also he's think, incredibly good.
And baseball mentality-wise, he aligns with them very much. So he's an incredibly smart player, understands, like, the advanced metrics of the game very, like, acutely, loves improving on the little things. I think that just really aligns with their philosophies, though maybe in terms of face wise and marketing wise, it doesn't line up. I think there's a lot of ways where he does really line up with the Giants philosophy.
And I mean, there's a reason the Giants are still in on him, right? Like, of all the teams willing to spend big money, it's kind of like the Giants are the last one who haven't spent anything. And Carlos Correa is the last player looking for a contract, right? And, like, the other teams in on Carlos Correa, I think, are the Cubs and the Twins. Like, dude, if they beat out the Giants for Correa, like, come on, what are we doing here? But I think there's I think there's also a world where the Giants are looking at Ohtani being a free agent next year and being like, oh, that's a guy we can market our team around.
Yes.
And we'll wait and try getting in that sweepstakes with the Dodgers and everyone else. Like, dude, I'm honestly convinced now Ohtani might sign a $500 million contract. Like, you laugh at that. You laugh, but, like,
no, it's hard to hear $500 million contract and not laugh, even though it's realistic. Like,
are you telling me someone's not going to offer him, like, 12 years, 500? Like, I feel like it's going to happen.
Why
it sounds
not?
Insane. It sounds absolutely absurd.
Yeah, I mean,
but, like, we talk about with how talented he is, and if you, like, go off the stats, like, there shouldn't be a year in the next 5 to 8 years where he's not MVP as long as he's producing average stats offensively and pitching wise, and he's above average usually. Like, he's just worth, he just has so much value, and there's gonna be a team who just gives him an absurd amount of money, and I mean, the Giants weren't in on him the first time it came around. They were just not in a good position to sign him. Like, the future of the team, they had a lot of old players at that time. So he ended up not. There's a huge, like, Japanese presence in San Francisco. Like, I could see them saying, like, well, Ohtani fits us better than Correa, so let's just wait for next offseason. And then you're going to run into the same issue where your team has no talent, so the big player doesn't want to sign with you.
Yeah. Sorry, and then
I'm frustrated.
People are going to be like, oh, Tani's getting overpaid. Well, let's listen to this really quick. 2018, his salary was $545,000 with the bonus of over $2 million. But then 2019, salary $650,000. 2020, $700,000. And then 21 through 22, $4,250,000.
Just the reality of baseball contracts. Yeah. It's wild.
So yeah, get your money, Ohtani.
Side note, I find this really weird. Why can't all these Japanese players come over and sign massive deals, but Ohtani couldn't? Like, because Ohtani had
too early
because he was young, right? So they didn't like buy him from another team. Like, these other guys, technically, like when we're talking about Yoshida, like he had a $15 million posting fee, so they bought him from his contract from his other team and gave him the new contract. So I guess Ohtani just came over too young.
Yeah, he said, well, I don't care about the money. I want to go play against the best because I'm the best.
Yeah, and I think there's a Japanese player coming next year that might be in a similar boat. I think he's like 23. He just won the MVP out there. So yeah, that'll be interesting.
No, yeah, he was just like, he could have waited a few more years, made more money. But honestly, this way he might end up making more money total.
Oh, well, yeah, we're talking about him maybe signing a $500 million contract. It's absurd. But dude, the Giants, like, they need to do something. I mean, I've said it multiple times on this podcast, 2021 was a mistake. Like, they were not expecting to win over 90 games and they won 107. Like, it was absurd. They were a good team. And I think because of that, it made the fans' reaction to last year even worse, even though last year was probably more of the reality. And this year, they kind of needed to load up on some talent. And I mean, I feel like they're going to sign Sean Manaea or someone like that. They're going to sign another low-name outfielder, and they're going to call it a day, re-sign Brandon Belt, and I'm going to put my head through a wall.
The captain, though.
I love Brandon Belt. And like, I honestly wouldn't be mad if they bring him back. They need a first baseman regardless. There's some actually rumblings that they might try putting Jock Peterson there. Which would be hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's just like, dude, the Giants are frustrating.
I don't know if you recall, but several episodes ago, I talked about a nightmare that I had been having, not in my actual sleep, but just a thought, a vision of the future that I was having, that was that the Red Sox would not have Bogarts, but then instead have Gene Segura. So we'll see if that
might happen.
Which might happen now that we're here. If that comes out, oh my gosh, that's gonna be hilarious and horrible. But
well, see, for me, the Giants equivalent is like, we were gonna miss out on Aaron Judge and sign Kevin Kiermaier and call it an off season.
Dude, well, it's funny because we didn't get to our Christmas wish list last episode, but I was going to do this big thing where I was, you know, like, I'm sending someone to San Francisco because sometimes, you know, you gotta give your boys a hard time, but sometimes you got to lift your boys up. So, Brian, I'm sending Kevin Kiermaier to San Francisco. But then I was going to be like, and he's going to be the new fan favorite, even though Aaron Judge is there as well. But now Kiermaier's in Toronto too.
We forgot to mention that. I don't think it's even on our list, but that's a very interesting signing with George Springer there. I guess George Springer moves to a corner and takes Teoscar's old spot.
Yeah, I think that's smart.
Which, I mean, defensively, I guess that makes him a lot stronger. So that's interesting. Kiermaier would have been great for the Giants. Their big issue last year, they were the worst defensive team by far. So, like, when Judge didn't sign with them, I was like, dude, there's a world where they sign Kiermaier and Carlos Correa and they get significantly better defensively. Like, dude, the Giants, like, even if they lose Rodon, the Giants are going to be a top 10 pitching team next year. They just are. they have so much talent. Their guys, like, they have a lot of starters that are, I think Desclafani is underrated. I think Alex Wood is underrated. Like, Logan Webb, I think, is an ace. He's so good. Giants are going to be good at pitching. I mean, I want Carlos Rodon back. Obviously, he, like, almost led the league in strikeouts. He was definitely top three. It's just like, dude, they need a starter, and they're going to get a starter, but I have a feeling it's going to be the same thing they've done the last three off seasons when they found Desclafani, when they found a Gausman, when they found Rodon. Like, they're going to give someone a 1 year, 2 year deal that's trying to reestablish their value, and he's going to come in and dominate.
Yeah, I mean, that'll be good. I just realized I last night wrote some info about Xander Bogaerts that
reminiscing.
Yeah, that I forget. Well, just kind of looking at him as his profile going forward. Forgot to mention, we talked about him. It says here, Xander Bogaerts is amazing, consistent, and handsome. That's how it starts. However, 2022, it did see him take a step back in terms of his power. He only hit 15 home runs in 2022, which was the fewest he's hit. I'm not including 2020 because that wasn't a full season, but since 2017. So the doubles were pretty much exactly where they always are. And then OBP was best of his career at 377. But obviously his slugging took a step back. I think lost about 50 points from his 2021 season in 22. And I was looking, is he hitting the ball less hard? What's up? Exit velocity hasn't really changed in any major way, slightly less, but nothing crazy. I think just the biggest thing is that launch angle. 2022, he had the shallowest launch angle of his career at 10.2 degrees, coming off of 12.5 in 21. And then in his career best 2019 season, he was launching the ball at a 13.4 average launch angle. So, I mean, and obviously still a great year from Xander, but if you're really trying to maximize that, it'll be interesting to see if San Diego's able to help him launch that ball a little bit more and, you know, get more of that power. And maybe just being surrounded by a few more better hitters, Soto, Machado, Tatis, maybe that will take some pressure off him, get him some more quality pitches to hit that which he can launch the ball into the air. So I do anticipate seeing a better power year from Xander going forward, but just interesting to see that going into this free agent year, he has seemingly lost some power.
Dude, Bob Melvin must be in shock. He went from a team with zero support, and then his first year with the Padres, they trade for Soto and then sign Xander Bogaerts. Like, and the thing is about power and Xander Bogaerts on the Padres, he doesn't need to be a power hitter. They just need him to hit some doubles, get on base. Like, dude, your power is coming from the Juan Soto, the Machado, the Tatis. Like, it is what it is. They just need him to be on base. They don't need him hitting 30 home runs. They don't even really need him hitting 25. Like, if he's hitting 15, they're happy.
Yeah, for sure. Without a doubt, excited for, I mean, as sad as I am, I'm also excited to see San Diego reunited with Don Orsillo. Don Orsillo, I know, loved Xander, also, you know, was best friends with Jerry Remy, who recently passed away, and Jerry Remy's favorite Red Sox of the last generation was Xander. So I'm sure Orsillo will be happy to call Bogaerts on a nightly basis. But as we're wrapping up, I realized we did miss three signings.
There's one big one too we haven't talked about yet.
Oh, yeah. Four.
Wilson Contreras signed with the St. Louis Cardinals. 5 years, $87.5 million. He's going to be Yachty's replacement, essentially. I mean, he talked about in his interview how he grew up watching Yachty play. And even though they have very different play styles, I mean, the Cardinals are continuing their trend of having a really good catcher.
Yeah, no doubt. And I think, yeah, this is just a good deal all around. Got their guy Contreras coming into a good spot to be in a competitive team in a not super exciting division. but I also like, there's a lot of people who are like, oh, well, he's a totally different guy. Their pitchers are used to having Yachty back there. Well, how is it going to be different in St. Louis? Well, first off, you know, it's going to be different, but I do think also Contreras knows what he's signing up for. He knows there's that pressure of being the Yachty replacement. So I think not in a bad way. I think that pressure is just going to inspire him to be that much better, work harder at those different parts of his game where Yachty really excelled, but also just continue to be himself and just absolutely like be one of the best catchers in baseball. When you look at what he's done offensively throughout his career, it's just, yeah, so much better than the average catcher.
I think that's the key thing, the offensive production. I mean, he's one of the best offensive catchers in our game and has been for a while now. And like, he's going to demand respect from the pitchers because he's hitting, like, because I'm here every day, like I'm our guy. And it's like, would you rather had some like defensive journeyman ace who's going to hit 180? Like Wilson Contreras, while he's not like extremely good at defense, he's not going to lose you multiple games. Like, he's a competent catcher. Like,
yeah,
I just
have a good arm too.
Exactly. Like, and with the way he hits, he's a net positive at that position.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
There's a reason he got $87 million, right?
Yeah.
Which one of these deals do you want to talk about next? I know which one I want to talk about.
But the Cubs responded. So the Cardinals reinforcing.
Okay.
Though maybe not in the most enthusiastic of ways. They signed Cody Bellinger to a 1-year $70.5 million deal and Jameson Taillon to a 4-year $68 million. Shout out to Taillon. I think both him and Taiwan Walker kind of similar levels going into this free agency, and both got, you know, similar payouts. Taillon's battled a lot in his career. Been solid recently. And
what are the Cubs doing?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, they signed Stroman last offseason. This offseason, they signed Taillon. Confusing. Cody Bellinger, he's going to play every day for them. They're going to learn he can't hit lefties. They're going to trade him to the Braves, who are going to go win a World Series. Nobody's going to want him next year, and he's going to end up on the Giants. Oh, wait, that's Jock Peterson. Sorry. it just, I don't know. Cody Bellinger can go many ways. I mean, he's a former MVP. Like, I like the Cody Bellinger signing for the Cubs. I feel like that's the type of move they had to make. Just the Taillon and Stroman, like, I don't know. Like, I guess the Cubs are trying not to fully rebuild, but they're, like, trying to kind of rebuild.
I mean, they're apparently going to be, they're still in for a Swanson or a Correa, so.
Yeah, they are still in. Dude, we need to talk about Dansby Swanson after this, too.
Yeah,
we do. Yeah, the Cubs are interesting. I like the Bellinger one. Taillon is, I mean, I guess with the direction they're going, it makes sense to sign a guy like Taillon, just bring in some more quality pitching.
I mean, I think it would have to take some stuff going right and some other stuff going wrong. But I do think the Cubs could finish maybe ahead of the Brewers this year. That's a possibility.
Oh, if you ask me as of right now, yeah, like it's not even of like current talent level. Like, I think currently it's easy to say the Brewers are a more talented team, but the Brewers definitely aren't trending up and the Cubs are trending up. Like, I'm always going to side with the team being aggressive and trying to make their team better versus the team actively getting rid of guys.
Yeah. I mean, the rotation isn't stellar, but if it could stay healthy, especially Taillon and Stroman up front, and then Bellinger and Happ get off to a hot start, maybe a little Seiya Suzuki as well. Like, things could be fun for the early part of that season in Chicago and Wrigley, and hopefully they are, because that's definitely a very fun ballpark when they're rolling.
Yeah, and like I was talking about the Japanese hitters earlier, like, there's a solid chance we see Suzuki come out and just be really good this year. I mean, obviously he could just stay the same, but he could have figured something out after playing all last year and working out a full offseason preparing for it. So, I mean, the Cubs could be interesting. And I think there's like a mental aspect to it. Like, the Cubs are sending a message to their players, like, we believe in you guys. We're going to try and put the best product we can on the field. While the Brewers, like, it's almost like that front office is sending a message like, we don't think you guys could do it. Like, they got rid of Colton Wong. They got rid of Josh Hader. They got rid of, who else did they get rid of? Hunter Renfroe. Like, it's just like they're not sending the message that we think you guys can compete. And that goes a long way sometimes.
Yeah. I mean, still a solid year from Suzuki. I mean, like you said, with that cold stretch, but 262 average, 336 on base, 433 slug. Yeah, I mean that's some quality two war season. Yeah, and hopefully he could improve upon that. But the contract that we've been dying to talk about this whole episode, the one that made us more excited than anything. Do you care to do the honors?
Let's go, Guards!
Josh Bell to the Guardians, 2 years, $33 million for your future AL Central champs. I mean, dude, talking about sending a message to your team that we're going to compete, the Guardians being a team that traditionally doesn't spend money is like, hey, we need a first baseman who could play defense because while Naylor has all the attitude, his defense is lacking.
Yeah. True.
And the other first baseman they tried out, I'm blanking on his name right now, but he's a second baseman. So they needed someone who's a true first baseman. Josh Bell brings that. He'll be a presence there every day. Switch hitter, has some pop. He had an incredible run last year with the Washington Nationals and had an incredibly disappointing time with the Padres once he got traded.
Playoffs production, had some production in the playoffs, but the regular season, yeah, not so much.
Not so much, but I think Josh Bell, I mean, he's always been, I guess in a way, like just kind of underrated because he's on the Pirates, like just kind of forgotten about for a long time. And on the Nationals, like he was putting up numbers, but they're kind of bad. And I mean, he was just kind of a throw into the Juan Soto deal. So I'm excited for Josh Bell and the Guardians. I mean, dude, the Guardians are proving they want to go for it. They were like, hey, we have a hole. Let's fill it.
Yeah.
Quality analysis.
That is exactly what they said. But here, let's look at these 2017 through 2022 numbers. I mean, just absolute consistency from Josh Bell, the man I once deemed the river monster, but because he hit so many balls into the Allegheny River. But yeah, just 800 OPS in 2017, 2018. 768, 2019, 936, 2020, that was only 60 games, doesn't even count. 21,
so he had a bad 2020 year.
21, 823 OPS, 22, 784. And as you mentioned, in Washington with an 877 OPS.
Yeah.
I mean, if Josh Bell, I think his average year is still going to be a really productive, especially that type of profile as a hitter he has. It's what the Guardians need.
Dude, and he fits their, like, the way they play. Like, he takes pitches, he grinds out at bats, and
yeah, but he has a little bit more pop than their other guys.
Well, yeah, for sure. But that's why I'm saying, like, he fits what they do. Like, he fits that mindset they have. Like, dude, the Guardians were scaring the Yankees because they were just grinding out at bats and finding ways to get on base. And Josh Bell, even though he has a lot of pop, he gets on base. Like, he had a 300 average for a long part of the year last year with the Nationals. Was it still at 300 when he got traded? I think it might have been. Like, the dude was having a great year, and they don't even need him to have one of those insane seasons. If he if he has a high 700s OPS, they're pumped. Like, dude, adding that into that lineup is going to go a very long way.
Yeah, I mean, and then there's obviously some ceiling potential here. Like, Guardians could have, I mean, this isn't a guarantee, but it's maybe guarantee. The two most productive switch hitters in the American League, baseball, if Josh Bell goes off. I mean, Lindor had a phenomenal 100-plus RBI season last year. Ian Happ, solid. I'm trying to think of any other dominant switch hitters, but if Josh Bell does this thing, there's a chance that you have the two like most productive switch hitters in baseball in Cleveland with Kwan, Rosario, Jimenez, Naylor, Bo Naylor, all around them.
And I mean, dude, there's talk about them still potentially trading for Sean Murphy, which if they do that, Guardians are winning that division. Lock it in.
Lock it in.
No, and I'm not joking. Like, who's going to compete with them in the division?
Yeah.
Like, maybe the White Sox have a bounce back year, but I'm still taking the Guards. Oh, my. I can't believe you just said that.
Bobby Witt.
Yeah.
I mean,
Bobby Witt's fast. Well, he was like the fastest player in the baseball last year. Or not the fastest. It was some guy I've never heard of, but like top five in speed last year.
Oh, yeah. I was going to be like, oh, yeah, let's see what the Royals have signed so far this year. Let's hype them up. Literally, yeah, no they've one. Done. They've done absolutely nothing.
Do you know what the Royals are going to do? They're going to sign Zach Greinke to another 1-year deal.
Oh, yeah.
And that's all they're going to do.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Brady Singer. Actual good year last year, so good for him. But do you have any other free agent talk before we do a little Christmas wish list?
No, let's hop into the Christmas wish list. I'll make my thing I want to say in that.
So yeah, I'm going to send someone to Boston because I try to do stuff where I'm not sending people to Boston, but this week's got me down. So I'm going to go realistic here. A need for the Red Sox and
realistic. They're going to trade for Ohtani.
Yes. Come on over to Boston. You pitched incredible in Fenway Park, so might as well make it your home. But no, I'm sending, you know, a man whose name is near and dear to our hearts. The chicken strip. Ross Stripling. Come on over to Boston. We need some pitching depth. Also, me and Brian are really sad, so I needed to make Adam sad. So we're sending Ross Stripling to Boston. I think he's just, it would be a good presence. I mean, he's not over 35, so he doesn't really fit their profile for their free agent signings, but I think it'd just be a good fit. So that's my wish list.
Yeah, my wish list is for the Giants to just do something. But no, what I really wanted to say is, like, I guess it doesn't really. Yeah, my Christmas wish is, why is Dansby getting so disrespected? Like, you were talking about how he had, like, of all the free agents, he had, like, the second best WAR year last year.
Yes.
And, like, there's a chance. Well, actually, I wouldn't even say a chance. He's 100% getting the least amount of money from these four big shortstops. Yeah. Like, he's not getting anywhere near Xander and Trey. Carlos Correa's. Honestly, there's a chance Carlos Correa gets less than Bogaerts for some crazy reason that I don't understand. And Dansby's just, like, I think Dansby's going to end up near the $200 million mark, which still is a lot of money. But, like, why do people overlook Dansby?
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I think they just want something more than a mid-700s OPS guy, even though that's, you know, that's still valuable and he's clutch.
Dude, mid 700 OPS and great defense. Like, what do you want?
Yeah, I don't know.
Where do you want Dansby to go?
Where do I want Dansby to go? Oh, man, that's a good question. Do you have a name in your head right now?
I have a team that I think would be fun, but we're not going to see it. Like
the Giants?
No, not the, that would be fun. But no, the Yankees would be fun, but we're not going to see it. Like, I don't think there's any shot. Like, if they're spending that much money, it'll be on, like, Rodon. Let's see, Dansby. I mean, I just don't want to see Dansby end up on, like, the Cubs or someone who's not good.
I mean, I think
it's going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, the Diamondbacks apparently were really in on Bogaerts. Diamondbacks are young and fun. I mean, Diamondbacks, Cubs, and then, you know, try and just get a nice little, some good vibes, you know, with Dansby, the hair flowing, the scrappy defense and offense, try and start a little something. So I don't know.
Who do the Braves have to replace him? Do they have someone?
What's that guy? Grisham?
Oh, Grisham. Okay.
But then they're just going to, they have someone else too, like, that could hold over in the meantime. If I forget.
Part of me feels like they might just, he might just go back to Atlanta on a contract that's dumb cheap. And we're going to look back upon it for, like, in like 2 years and be like, how did Atlanta get him for that cheap?
Yeah. I think, what's happened is Atlanta was like, here's our final deal. We're just going to leave it out there. If you want to take it at any time, you could take it. But if you find something else, good for you. Thank you for everything.
Yeah. But I mean, it's what they did with Freddie Freeman.
Yeah.
They were like, this is our final deal. Freddie Freeman's apparently said no, and they went and traded for Matt Olson. Yep. And then he cried because he was sad.
But Braves will either have Vaughn Grisham or Orlando Arcia playing shortstop.
I just realized you said Grisham and I said Trent Grisham.
Vaughn Grisham.
You know Trent Grisham, their shortstop.
Yeah. Stud. Great. At pop-ups.
I can't believe I did that. Oh, not to do our Padre listeners like that.
Oh, wait, did he drop a pop-up? I just meant he's an outfielder.
Okay. Yeah, man. But like Dansby, like I hope he ends up somewhere good, somewhere fun. And I mean, he's still going to get paid, but like his contract's going to look closer to Nimmo's than it is Bogarts or Judge's. Or obviously not Judge's, Bogarts or Turner's.
And I think that's fair. I mean, Bogarts and Turner's are, you know, you almost pencil them in now for the All-Star game. Silver Slugger, stuff like that. Dansby is just not quite that level.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. Like, to me, Bogarts and Swanson have such similar value when you, like, not to say Bogarts isn't a great shortstop, but, like, defensively, he's not elite like some of the guys, right? Like, he has some holes in his defensive game. He's still good enough to play short. It'll be interesting if he stays there for, I don't know. Do you think Xander is a long-term shortstop?
I mean, I know Xander thinks he's a long-term shortstop.
Okay.
Yeah, he's very not wanting to move off of short, but okay. We'll see.
Huh, interesting.
But now that he has a full contract, maybe that's different. Maybe that's, I want to be a shortstop when I'm a free agent. So, yeah.
That makes sense. I don't know. It'll be interesting. Like, is there a chance they play Bogarts at second and Tatis? I don't know. We're going to have to see how the Padres work it out.
Well, I think this is what it is. Machado could opt out after next year. So we might see Bogarts go to third. And then,
if he leaves.
Yeah.
That'll be interesting.
Bada-boom,
where would Machado go? That's so wild.
Well,
okay.
Yeah, a long time to think about that.
Yeah. Well, you have anything else you want to talk about this week?
No. Let's guess. I want to guess really quickly. Adam's wish list. I'm going to say Evan Longoria to the Blue Jays. What about you?
You know, I really have to think about this one. Like, there's a lot of guys he could potentially want out in Toronto. I think what Adam's really hoping for is that they just like trade Vlad for nothing.
For literally nothing.
For nothing. Like, yeah. That, like, he's hoping somebody like, let's say the Orioles sign Joe Panic and the Blue Jays are like, oh, that can't happen. We'll give you Vlad straight up for Joe.
Yeah.
That's what Adam wants for sure.
Blue Jays trade Vladimir Guerrero for cans of compressed air.
Yes. Yeah. Adam wants them to trade Vlad for some juiced baseballs at their stadium.
Oh, love it. Well, that's all I got.
Okay. And we'll see you maybe next week. If not a lot happens, it might not be till Christmas time.
Christmas.
So enjoy your holidays and we'll see you guys later. Goodbye.
Later. Christmas.